Well, good morning.
Have you ever read a portion of Scripture, maybe a commandment, a law, or a parable, or some portion of Scripture that highlights something you should be obedient to, and you read it and feel convicted? Maybe you read it and say, I am in need of repentance. You might say, this sermon this morning is a sort of repentance of mine, an area I'm always looking to grow and consider to grow. So I'm preaching to myself primarily, which I believe is what any good gospel preacher does with the messages that they bring forth, is they preach them primarily to themselves, examine themselves, and then allow the outflow, the outpouring of that message to be beneficial to all through their life and through their words. Amen. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through 29, the Apostle Paul says this, Him we proclaim, talking about Jesus Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. This wisdom from the apostle is my heart this morning. Teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's what I believe we do here at the Blue Point Bible Church in regards to a thinking faith. We seek to present people as mature believers in Christ. Of course, we do not disdain the sincere desire for the milk of the word, the very foundation of the gospel. However, our desire is to grow up into all things, to become mature in Christ. Today, I endeavor to put before us some scriptural wisdom and some rabbinical insights that I believe will challenge us to be mature, to continue to mature in all things in regards to how we express the healing of the nations. Let's pray. Mighty God, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for going before us. I thank you, Lord, for going before me in my examination of myself and my working through this message, Lord, to glorify you and to edify the saints and to offer up my repentance, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom of your word, Lord, and the wisdom that the Spirit illuminates through your word, Lord, and empowers the believers to have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all things you've given to us pertaining to life and godliness. May you be glorified through this message and each of us edified. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to bring your attention to Leviticus chapter 13. This is in line with our thinking through Scripture. We've pretty much preached from Genesis 1. Well, not pretty much. We have preached from Genesis 1 to Leviticus chapter 13. And have been seeking to think through, not just read and understand what the Scripture says or know the Scripture, but to really dive in and become mature in regards to the details that we're thinking through in the Scriptures and what all of this means in regards to a life, in regards to life and godliness. Here in Leviticus chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 1, and then I'm going to bounce over to verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, verse 9, When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall then look, and if there is white swelling in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh in the swelling, it is chronic leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. Verse 29. Now if a man or a woman has an infection on the head or the beard, then the priest shall look at it, and it shall appear be deeper than the skin, and there is a yellowish hair in it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, in it a scale, it's leprosy in the head or his beard. Verse 32. On the seventh day, the priest shall look at the infection, and if the scale has not spread and no yellowish hair has grown in it, and the appearance of the scale is no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but he shall not shave the scale, and the priest shall isolate the person with the scale 7 more days. Then on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the scale, and if the scale has not spread in the skin, and it appears no deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Verse 47. When a garment has a mark of leprosy in it, whether it is wool garment or a linen garment, whether in warp or woof or linen or wool, whether in leather or in any article made of leather, if the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather or in the warp of the woof or in any article of the leather, it is a leprous mark, and it shall be shown to the priest. Then the priest shall look at the mark and shall quarantine the article with the mark for 7 days. Verse 52. So shall they burn the garment, whether warp or woof, if in the wool or linen, or any article of leather in which the mark occurs, for it is leprous malignancy, it shall be burned with fire. Chapter 14, verse 32. This is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. Okay, and then it goes on to talking about the cleansing of a leprous house. So here we are thinking through Scripture. I want you to notice how we read through these details and how specific they are in regards to this skin disease. Why two chapters in the Bible about skin disease? The interesting thing is there's a little bit of a disagreement in regards to what's happening here. Many people in our English Bible, for example, it talks about leprosy. And we know of leper colonies and things like that that Mother Teresa had served in. And leprosy is a skin disease that is contagious. You see, this disease here seems to be contagious, but it's not just a skin disease. It's a disease that grows on clothing. It's a disease that grows on houses. What we see in the Hebrew here is a disease, if you will, or a divine judgment, as some rabbis have called it, called sarat. Sarat is a comprehensive term covering a number of dissimilar conditions, as noted by Jewish philosopher Maimonides. And he said, so whiteness in a person's skin is sarat. The falling off of hair on a chin or on a head is sarat. Change in color of garment or in the color of walls in a house is sarat. This is important because when we read the English scriptures, we begin to think of the disease, leprosy, the skin disease that's contagious, that's been, you know, diagnosed by medical professions. And scholars would say that what's happening here is not. Here at Blue Point Bible Church, we specialize in focusing in on audience relevance. What did it mean to the original people? Because that can change a whole lot about our understanding. You see, as you read through the text here, it becomes apparent that this is not talking about the skin disease that we've diagnosed as leprosy. Rather, this disease grows, you know, is a sign of something. It grows on walls. It grows on houses. Matter of fact, if we were to listen to the wisdom that comes from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, he said this: what then links human skin, garments, and walls of houses? The answer is they all mark a boundary between something inside and outside. They are outer surfaces covering something whose essential significance is within. Decay in a boundary, whether it be skin, clothes, or walls, is to the priestly mind a sign of disorder within. So the question then becomes, if we're talking about decay on the outside, signifying decay on the inside, we then need to wonder, where in Scripture, what insights can we gain about this sarat concept that makes things outside look defiled and thereby requiring isolation? Many rabbis have proposed Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 as the source of causes for sarat. Herein we read, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brethren. You see, in the Hebrew, they have two different concepts for speech, for bad speech, evil speech. Motzi shem ra, which means the bringing of a bad name, the bringing out of a bad name by slander, and lashon hara. Lashon hara is evil or damaging speech. Gossip, divisive, doubtful. Take note of those three things: divisive, doubtful. Oh, now I said them wrong. Gossip, divisive, and doubtful. That's Lashon Hara, different than Motzi Shem Ra. You see, Maimonides gives us some wisdom in regards to this Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, the evil speech that comes forth from a man. He says this, the evil tongue, which refers to one who speaks disparagingly of his fellows, even though he speaks truth. The one who possesses an evil tongue is one who sits and says, now take note of this, a certain individual did this and this. His ancestors were so and so and so and so. I heard this and this about him. Scripture says of those who speak disparagingly of others, quote, may the Lord cut off all smooth lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Psalm chapter 12, verse 14, end quote. Interesting. So according to Maimonides, the evil tongue is not only the tongue that sits and says bad things about people, but rather the tongue that gossips about people, even though the gossip might be true. You see, the problem with this Lashon Hara, this evil speech, is that it sows suspicion and dissension. It wrecks communities. It destroys reputations and careers. It damages relationships, undermines the respect and trust upon which communities and families depend. Nothing could do more damage to the kind of nation that God was inviting Israel to become, the nation that God has invited the church to become, a community built on shared memories, hopes, expectations, and a sense given by covenant of collective responsibility. You see, Maimonides gives us further wisdom. All agree that leprosy is a punishment for slander. The disease begins within the walls of houses, right? Discussions and gossip. If the sinner repents, the object is attained. If he remains in his disobedience, continuing to be a gossip and a slanderer, the disease then affects his bed, his house, his furniture, and if he continues to sin, the leprosy attacks his own garment and then his body, thus defiling him and making him wicked. We read a little bit about this in Scripture, matter of fact. Some examples we have is Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 4. Moses speaks against Israel. Moses doubts that Israel will walk worthy because look at their track record. So God gives him a leprous hand. Repent, Moses. Go forth and do what I'm telling you because the people will walk worthy. Or at least Moses is not allowed to be the one that is doubtful of whether or not they're going to walk worthy. Miriam then maligns her brother and speaks against Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, you read about this. And you see this as a commandment and a warning in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 8 through 9. Do not be like Miriam. Remember what happened to her. Sarah. You see, isolation is required as a punishment because the evil words these people had spoken, whether it was doubtful, divisive, disobedient, created distance between either God and man or man and man. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing as the people of God. We're supposed to be bringing forth fellowship, healing and fellowship. The rabbinical wisdom is why this punishment for sin? The nature of the punishment testified to the kind of sin that it provoked. The sin of gossip, the sin of slander, seeks to make one a pariah, sets one out, sets one apart, creates division. Therefore, the one who commits it will therefore be made a pariah. You see this in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 46. Isolate the one who has sarah. I'll tell you, Maimonides sure has a lot of wisdom in regards to this evil tongue. He says this. He says, the problem with evil tongue is like this. It begins first with idle talk, right? Just talking about nothing. Then you speak ill of the righteous. Then this leads you to speak against the prophets and their message. Then you speak against God and deny his existence and have rendered yourself completely wicked. I'll tell you, that's a good reason not to begin with idle talk, amen? Not to participate in gossip, cause dissension, because ultimately these things lead to speaking against God, blaspheming God. It surely is not surprising that much of the information we gain from the Scriptures regarding the power of speech comes to us through what are known as the wisdom books in Scripture. As I mentioned earlier, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. I already mentioned some and have a few more wisdom passages for us to consider. Psalm chapter 34, verses 13 through 14 read, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." You see, a lot of times we spend time focusing in on what we should not be saying. Rather, here, this text tells us rather clearly what we should be saying. The things we should be speaking about are seeking for peace and the pursuit of it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." You can learn a lot from people and their obedience to God by what comes out of their mouth. God will allow it to manifest all sorts of fruit. Good tree will not bear bad fruit. Amen. And a bad tree will not bear good fruit. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I'm sure we're all in agreement this morning that we want to eat the fruit of life. Therefore, this will require us to express what is called Lashon Tov, good speech, rather than Lashon Hara, bad speech that we've been talking about. So let's talk a little bit about Lashon Tov, amen? This good speech. I love what Rabbi Jonathan Sacks had said. He said, "We create worlds with words. Language is the basis of creation, revelation, and the moral life. It is the air we breathe as social beings. Speech is a God-given tool through which the individual's heart and mind are reflected to an outside world," said Rabbi Shmuel Golden. Furthermore, evil speech diminishes us where good speech helps us grow. Evil speech puts people down. Good speech lifts them up. Focused, targeted praise, informed by judgment of an individual's strengths, and sustained by faith in people's potential, is what makes great teachers and disciples greater than what they would have been otherwise. So yes, how we use words has great importance in regards to how we walk worthy of making disciples. Seeing the good in people and telling them is a way of helping what you're saying become real, helping the walk, their growth in Christ, become real. Essentially, we become midwives to the growth of disciples. Amen? Lashon Tov, good speech, falls within the command of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Again, a law that we're going to see as we continue through the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19, verse 18. Our Lord and Savior surely knew this. We have quite a few poignant statements made in the New Testament writings about our power of words. Matter of fact, I'd like if we turn to Matthew chapter 12. Verses 30 through 37. Herein, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and he says this. Matter of fact, if I could just start at verse 22, and then I'll read 30 through 32. Oh, I'm sorry, 30 through 37. "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. The crowds were amazed and were saying, 'This man cannot be the son of David, can he?'" Again, the Messiah that was hoped for through the Old Testament. "But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'This man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons.'" So they're right here, Jesus is going to show us that they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They're denying the work that is being done right in the midst of them by the work of God. And they're obstinate against the work of God, so they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And this is the only sin that will not be forgiven of all men. This is the sin which makes an unregenerate person unregenerate, is that they cannot bring forth good fruit out of their mouth. They will blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus says in verse 30. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven to him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven to him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Take note of that. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, of course, I do not believe that we're looking forward to a day of judgment, nor do I believe a Christian should fear such judgment, right? Perfect love casts out fear, is the wisdom that we get from the Epistle John. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, is the wisdom that we get from Romans chapter 8. So, that's not what we're focused on here. What we're focused on is that the fruit of judgment, which I do believe is in our past, that judgment revealed the foundation for future generations. Of course, that judgment showed that what Jesus had spoken against in regards to these religious leaders and these people in that first century did indeed come to pass, that they gave an accounting for their words. However, the spiritual wisdom that still shines through this text is that last verse there, verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What's coming forth out of your heart? Gossip? Slander? Doubt? Or edifying words? In James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, we get a little bit more wisdom. If you'd like to turn with me there. Verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Moving over to verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. In other words, if you are not that person that is quick to hear and slow to speak, your religion is worthless as per Scripture. Let's see what else James has for us in chapter 3, verse 3. We're going to read through the whole portion here. Now, if we put bits in the horse's mouth, by the way, this is a commandment to teachers, those that are teaching the gospel, bringing forth the truth. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look to the ships also, as they are so great and are driven by such strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts in great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. Notice that there. Defiles the entire body. Many of you may be familiar with my teachings on the effective Christian foundation, that I place the salvation of a believer at their moment of repentance, what comes out of their mouth, because what comes out of the mouth is what comes from the heart. Just as this text is showing us that the tongue is that which defiles the entire body, the tongue is also that which can breed forth the salvation for the entire body by working of the Holy Spirit, and sets on fire the course of our life, and it sets on fire for hell. For every species of beast, reptiles, creatures of the sea is tamed, and is tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Catch the power of that. Does a fountain send forth the same from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show forth his good behavior by his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. There's your wisdom, folks. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we read about Christ. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. In conclusion this morning, I hope that I have you thinking through your past week and weeks to come. Are you guilty of Lashon Hara? Maybe repentance and a renewed commitment to bringing healing through your words is necessary. Dare I say that if you are not using your words to praise God and to be a blessing to others, you are guilty of Lashon Hara. Where can you use wisdom with Lashon Tov, good speech? Who are you going to bless with words of comfort, encouragement, discernment, or insight this week? Rabbinical wisdom reminds us, how can finite beings be connected to an infinite God? How can they be connected to one another? How can there be cooperation, collaboration, collective action, peace, freedom, families, communities, and a nation? How can we form relationships of trust? The answer is, and we all know it, through words. Words that communicate. Words that bind. Words that honor the divine God and human beings. My brethren, use your words wisely. The message still speaks. We are not under the Levitical laws, but the message still speaks. Never take language lightly. Therefore, suffering possibility of getting sarat. Prayerfully, you don't need the fear to condemn you. You just know what needs to glorify our Lord with fruitful lips. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the Spirit. As we opened and closed this morning, Lord, with scriptures that remind us that it is through you we are able to attain to salvation. It is through you, Lord, that we are able to walk worthy of Lashon Tov. Lord, may your Spirit continue to remind us of using our words wisely and helping us tame our tongue as we look at that effect of Lashon Hara, as we look at what Sarat was and caused and the damage that gossip and slander does to a community, Lord. May we endeavor to be a people that edify with our words, that we edify and heal in all things, Lord. That we seek peace and pursue it in regards to our lives and our speech. Lord, we thank you for the examples you have put forth in Scripture. We ask that you continue to convict us and allow us to manifest all the things that you have provided to us in and for your glory, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.